Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at teresagreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Manny.
Technically, a snow day? We haven't seen a snow day in a little while.
I know. Us rough Canadians here. Rough and tough.
I knew it was going to be a typical Canadian this year anyway, so it didn't. You don't scare me. It was only 4 feet high of snow when you shoveled the drive.
Well, we're wimps here, like in Toronto anyways, compared to like other parts of Canada who have it way worse.
Yeah, we got pretty lucky, but... It's all good. Thank you for coming in. I know it was a little bit of a trek, and it's always nice to see you. It's always you just make my days better. That's all.
Thank
Simple
you.
As that, right?
Thanks.
So
thanks.
I could be having some really bad days. And we've had talks before, DMs, and when we do get, because we both shut off our notifications. So it's kind of interesting that you send me a message, and maybe months later I'll get you a message back. And then I'll send No, it's not that bad. Maybe a day or two. But it's good to have you back in the studio, and we're going to continue doing some more Building Joy shows.
Mm-hmm.
I like
that. Yes. We all need a little bit more joy, especially on days like this when it's so gray here. It's tough in the wintertime, right? When we have no sun for like days on end.
Is February the worst month? Hardest month?
I think it's both. I think it's January.
January and February?
Yeah.
But then March, we start seeing a little bit of green with hopefully snow starts to melt. And then birds chirping and we start seeing rabbits. No? It becomes like the beginning of Snow White, right? No? That's how I look at it.
I love that. That's optimistic thinking. I love that.
Let's suffer what's going on today and next week and the week after. And then green, March starts right. to come.
And so even when there are so many forces outside of ourselves that we can't change, are not the way necessarily we would like them to be, all we can do is control our response to those things.
100%.
And so when I look outside and it was difficult and challenging to get here with my car and there is no sun, that I can think, well, how do I bring some more sun, light, and happiness to like within me? And then I can bring that in and share it externally with everyone that I meet. So
thank you. Thank you for bringing it.
It's a good day for that.
Who are we talking to first?
Okay, so we're going to be talking to Caitlin, who is all the way out in the UK. So I presume that she's going to have a really great accent.
Probably.
That we're going to be able to...
But you mentioned something about Australia.
Yeah, I think she's an Australian that moved to the UK.
So she's going to have a mix of something.
Uh-huh, yeah. We're gonna have to see
we'll
what
find
we hear.
Out.
Yeah, so I can't wait to talk to her about her journey to happiness.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, there we go.
Sorry about that.
Hello.
Sorry, it was something on our end, on our switchboard.
Yeah.
No worries at all. How are you both?
Awesome.
Good.
Awesome. That's why I said to Manny, I prepared him. Manny's my co-host, and I prepared him to say, I think we're going to hear someone with a really interesting accent today.
Yes, you will.
How are you doing? It's Manny. How are you doing today?
I'm really well, thank you. I actually had a podcast earlier today, and he was like, your accent's really weird. I'm like, yep, that's fine. But no, really well today. How was the snow over there?
There's snow.
Yeah, it's not. It wasn't friendly, I'll be honest. I know I messaged you last night saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to end up being able to come in, but I mustered up the courage and
well done.
And took to the ropes.
Well, mine was the first time that I actually had to stop halfway through shoveling the drive and take a little bit of a beverage break. And I just,
wow.
I should have made it an alcoholic beverage break, but I just made it water and it got me going to finish the rest of it. So it got done.
Okay. Well done. Proud of you both.
All right. Thank you so much.
And Caitlin, you're in England?
I am in England, yes.
And what's the weather like out there today?
It's grey. I'm going to be honest. It's the time of the year where it's grey. And that's okay, because soon it's going to be spring and a lot more colourful.
Yeah.
I was just telling Teresa that. I look forward to March.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, very much so. That's. I'm really excited. My birthday's on the 28th of Feb. And I'm excited for my birthday and then the next day to be spring.
Very nice.
So, Caitlin, we and I was so excited to have you on the show today because I wanted to share your story about getting to a place of happiness. So, you know, and what you shared with me was very similar to where I was at when, you know, I call starting my happiness journey, that, you know, my life too checked off all the boxes that I had achieved all the things. And so, yeah, if you could speak to a little bit about, you know, where you were and, you know, we'll interject some questions in between that. And then, you know, what was that turning point that had you deciding to create a different life for yourself and how you did that and where you're at now?
Yeah, no worries. So I think as many of us grow up, I don't think we have the idea that happiness is the goal. I think we're just like stability, financial stability. And if we have a house, we'll be happy. If we have a dog, we'll be happy. If we have the career and the corporate ladder and we go up and up and up, that's going to make us happy. Well, that's the success we're ultimately striving for. And I was very fortunate that I went up. I had a very successful career, and then I was 26 when I had the moment of realization. I literally have everything I was told you were meant to have in life. And it was that moment. I was sitting in my office and I just served another client. And they were like, how do I get unstuck? How do I grow my business? And I was like, here you go. And they're like, thanks so much. I'm like, you're welcome. And they left. I shut the door and I just had this dread come over me. And I was like, if I live the same year again, how will I feel? And I just thought, I'll feel dead inside. What is the point of living? I'll just be repeating the same pattern, the same habits, and I will never have achieved anything. And my life had peaked at 26. And it was that real radical honesty that I realized me trying to strive for what what everybody else was saying was success, was what you needed, just caused me great depression and misery. So that's when I was like, I can't take this anymore. I can't continue this. I want to be 80 looking back on my life going, you've lived, you've not just existed.
Yes. Thank you so much for that, because, well, I'm happy for you that it happened at 26. For me, it was the milestone of turning 40. So yep. I waited a little bit longer to start asking those questions and realizing exactly the same thing. Like, I'm sitting here smiling, which you can't see, but it was that if I had arrived at half my life at that point, could I imagine living the same life for the next 40 years? You know, again, like if I arrived to 80, and it was exactly the same thing that, you know, you've achieved all the things and yet you're feeling unhappy and it just doesn't make sense.
Yes.
Caitlin, can I ask you, I'm curious about, was it your circle of friends that was making you feel that way? Or was it a combination of your friends and people around you and just marketing in society in general, because of how they position? If you go on this vacation, you'll be happy. If you get this job, you'll be happy. If you get this car, you'll be happy. Was it a combination of both, or was it more the circle of friends that were kind of implying that you need to do something else?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it felt from a simplicity standpoint, everyone around me, my direct, you know, my family, my friends had it and they seemed satisfied. So that was digging in the belief of this will bring you happiness or this will bring you joy. And something along my journey switched where I didn't want success anymore. I wanted happiness. And I didn't realize that was the catalyst that was about to change everything. But then it was the, oh, but you get 4 weeks off a year paid and you get to travel and you get paid well. Why would you give that up? Yeah. And it was like, why give away the external validation? Because nobody can see internally what's going on.
No.
Yeah. So you know, I was like, oh, if I just go on a holiday, I'll feel better. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't. And I just felt worse and worse and worse. And it was really tough because everybody around me at that stage, you know, had careers, they had the house, they wanted to start the family. And I just thought, I felt so lonely at that stage because it was so opposite to what I was now yearning for. And I just didn't know how to find my way through it.
Thank you. And again, that was so similar to me that it brought me into a really deep, dark hole where I didn't speak to anybody because of all, for like some of the reasons that you've stated that, you know, if I said to someone, you know, I'm not happy. And well, the response would be, well, what do you have to complain about? Exactly. You know, yes. What you're saying, your life looks perfect. You have, as you said, you know, 4 weeks holiday, you have like, you know, all of these things. And so it, and it's that you're just like, well, I guess I can't talk to anybody about it. That I'm just feeling worse and worse and worse. And so what steps did you take at that point then to change things?
I took a career break and moved to the other side of the world.
Wow.
And it worked.
So that changed a lot of things. But it was actually funny because I went to my boss to ask for a career break, and I was number two business specialist in the country. And he was like, he declined it. Wow. And I was like, you have no reason to decline it. Like, I've given you everything. Like, why are you doing this? He's like, nope, you're not going. I'm like, we will see about this. So it's kind of like you get a little nudge to be like, how serious are you? And I was like, no, I'm really serious. So I went to his boss, who was actually from the UK originally and now lived in Australia. I'm like, hi, this is what I want to do. And she's like, no worries at all. Have the best time. I'm like, thank you so much. So then I moved to the other side of the world, to the UK, and for the first time in my life since I was 14, I didn't know what I was going to do. I always wanted to work in the bank. That was like my dream, and I worked in it and was like, oh, no, now I don't know what I want to do. So I took 3 months of just crying and processing and traveling and living and making mistakes, and then I started piecing myself together and just started going, well, what would just bring me joy today? I have no direction. What's just a piece of joy I can bring from today? And then slowly I started having more joyful moments and then more joyful days. And then my life just became joyful because I made that my focus, not the success.
I love that. I love that because this is the question that I ask people. And I asked it at the end of my TEDx talk too, that's entitled Does Money Buy Happiness? Is how important is your happiness to you? That is really the question, that if happiness is a priority to you, then you take action every single day to work towards that, towards making your life happy. And that's exactly what you did. You made it the priority because it's exactly as you said, that we believe that in the having of certain things, in the end, it's going to make us happy. That's why we desire it. That's why we get the pet. That's why we have the children. That's why we find the love relationship, because we believe that in the having of those things, we're going to find the happiness that's at the basis or foundation to everything we do. Not recognizing that we can choose joy in every single moment. So tell me about some of the ways that you were choosing joy. And it's very simple things, very simple things. So how was your joy? Because also I talk about following your bliss. And following your bliss means that you are allowing the joy that's naturally inside of you to guide you with every single choice you make all day long. So how are you doing that? How are you tapping into your joy?
Thank you for providing such a beautiful platform for people to learn how to be joyful, because a lot of us don't actually learn how to know how to be happy.
Thank you.
I think when I first started on this journey, I didn't know how to be happy. I had no idea how to be joyful. I was like, it was such a foreign concept. I knew how to, you know, create the external validation. So when I literally sold everything I had ever owned, and the only thing I had on me was my backpack. That was the only thing I belonged to. So I stripped everything away. And I think that really helped, because it's quite, you know, you take a lot of things off. And then I was like just standing there. And I, and for me, happiness comes with acceptance. And it's not just acceptance of the positivity and acceptance of love. It's the acceptance of all the pieces of yourself that you don't necessarily want to see. And it, that to me is full joy and happiness. So I was like, right, I am at the lowest point I've ever been in my life.
Yep.
Financially, career-wise, you know, I'm scared. Who do I want to be? And I just asked myself that question, like, who do I actually want to be? Because I became who everyone else wanted me to be.
Thank you. I was like, who do I- My God, our stories are so similar. This is insane. It's insane listening to you. It's like you're literally mirroring like exactly like where I was and all the same things that I was realizing that are all part of my story. Exactly, yeah. That too, that I didn't know who I was. Because yes. I had trying to meet everybody else's expectations for who I thought I needed to be, again, to have this happy life. So yeah, this is incredible. So so who did you want to be?
I wanted to thank you for asking. Well, honestly, I think if you don't know, you're already them. So if you don't know who you want to be, you're just going to be a record of the patterns of who you are today mm-hmm. and who you were yesterday. Yeah. So for me, I really wanted to shift a lot of my patterns. So for me, I wanted to be a woman who was accepting and loving of herself. And that looked like going and doing things I never thought I could do. But there was also joy in I love like just randomly dancing, just when a music, when a song comes on, mm-hmm. it brings me so much joy just to do a little dance. So it's like those things. So then I was like, what could I do? And I was like, I could just dance when I wake up because that brings me so much joy. And that's how it started, because for me, I think a lot of people, they're scared to change and they're scared to do something new because it's like it has to be this whole big grand gesture. But our life is made up of moments, and it's in these small moments that you have a decision. Do you choose what you've done before or choose something different? And it was like, well, I just want to do something just slightly different. So I would wake up and I would dance, and I loved to dance. And then it would follow on to, okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to drink my coffee and I'm just going to give myself a little compliment. And it's literally seconds in your day. And then the woman I am today, I'm such an in love. I love who I am, and I'm fully accepting who I'm continuously becoming. And I love, you know, a mother. I love being a mother. I you know, I've struggled being a mother, but I love it. And I'm a fiance. And I listen and I'm vulnerable and I make so many mistakes, but I'm so authentically myself that I just feel so at peace with myself because I know who I am and I'm accepting of all of it, the days that I am not my best and the days that I am. And it's just, it's nice. It's nice being who I am now.
Caitlin, you ever catch moments in your life where you miss the old you?
I do have moments where I crave the moments of no responsibility. The moments where I could just go on a pub crawl, for example. I could just go out with friends, like that yeah. type of freedom. But the freedom, that's not freedom to who I am today. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't bring me the same level of joy. I do now look back at those memories and moments and go, oh, like I'm glad that was part of my story then. And I'm also glad that it's evolved beyond that.
And that's where I was going with it, because most people in their 20s, man or woman, they start to crave that they think their happiness is in their partner or their friends.
Yeah.
As long as they're feeling some sort of hint of happiness from them, giving it back to themselves, then they feel like, okay, things are good. Everything's good. But that's not the case.
No. Oh, no.
No, right?
No. I found, and it's, you know, I'll be 35 at the end of the month. So this is almost a decade journey for me. And I found that the reason I was so miserable is because I was becoming somebody else that I thought somebody else wanted me to be.
Yeah.
Who I didn't even know if they wanted me to be that person, but I was so far I was so far detached from who I actually was and who I wanted to be that I didn't even know who I was anymore.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, if this person's happy, then I can be happy. If this person's sad, then I'm going to be sad.
Yeah.
Then if you're in a room full of people who have every type of emotion, you're going to feel a lot.
Yeah.
And I realized through this journey, you have no control over how somebody else reacts. You only have the control over how you react. The power is always with you. And it's switching flipping the switch, giving yourself all of that responsibility and power back and just going, it's on me. How I show up today, how I respond today, and it's helped take a lot of the pressure off. I don't go up and down with others' emotions anymore because it's on them. Like, they can feel however they want to, and I'm here to listen and guide if they need, but it doesn't sway my emotions as it used to.
Mm-hmm. Caitlin, I wanted to also pick on something else that you said, which, again, is so much part of my own story, is about finding that authentic self, that I too had lost myself and that I actually didn't know who I was. It was like, well, who is the real Teresa? Because I was wearing so many different masks that at work, it was like, who does Teresa need to be now as a teacher?
Yeah.
And then with my in-laws, who does Teresa now need to be here? And then at home with my kids, what does the perfect mom look like? And then there's that mask that in removing of all those masks, which, as you said, you had to, it is scary. And there's a level of vulnerability in showing up and deciding to show up as your true and authentic self. And I am discovering more of who that is every single day, even though I've been also on my happiness journey for over 10 years, where I have to check in with myself, where that when expectations get put on me, I now have to say, okay, give me a minute, because I need to check in with my emotional self and see whether this is something that I feel aligns with me, and if it resonates with me, and if it works for me. And so I will say, and now that's where a lot of the healthy boundaries have been created from, that because if I feel like it's not something I want to do, I won't do it anymore. Whereas before, yeah, I was looking for that love, that acceptance from other people that always swayed me into saying, well, I should do that because that's what a good wife does. I have to do that because that's what a good daughter does. Whereas now, it's almost like, fuck that. And we're allowed to swear on this show, yeah, so that's cool.
Okay, good.
And screw that it doesn't work for me now, because they don't know that I have a pile of work and other responsibilities that I have to attend to, which it's not convenient for me now to go to your party or to your dinner or whatever it is. Like, maybe I'm just not feeling it today. So how, was that something that you also had to integrate into, maintaining your happiness? And I say protecting our peace in that respect, that when we're so almost conditioned to please those around us because we want them, we also want them to be happy, but at our own sacrifice.
Yes. Well, if we think about it, when we were babies, we learned facial expressions off those around us. Mm-hmm. So when they were happy, we learned to be happy.
Yeah.
When they were sad, we learned to be sad. And so we quickly didn't want to do that because we knew it just didn't feel right. So from a very young age, we've learned to really look at other people's emotions and go, am I doing the right thing? Should I be doing something different? And I think that when you let go, and I love to let go. I have rebuilt so many times in my life. It is the most freeing thing. When you just let go of the boxes you've put yourself in, let go of the narratives of how you should show up, how you should do your hair, how you should speak to your in-laws, and you're just like, you know what? This is who I am. And it does always, the power is in the conversation. And the conversation starts with you. How do you choose to show up? How do you choose to be in this moment? And when you can stand there in your boundary, you give someone else permission to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
If you're having a blurred boundary, that other person doesn't know where to stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what really helped me, I had my son 4 years ago, and I thought, right, I want him to learn how to stand in the discomfort of other people's emotions and not try and fix it, but be there to support if he needs to, which means I need to do that. Mm-hmm. So, and that was tricky because I think the deeper we go with understanding ourselves, the more compassionate and understanding we are of others. Mm-hmm. So it's really going, well, why do I keep saying I should act like this and following this pattern when I actually want to be doing it this way? And get curious on it, take the judgment away, and allow yourself to just be. I did actually take should out of my vocabulary when I first started on this. It has weaved itself back in a little bit, I am going to be honest. But I think we have seasons of our life as well. I've realized it's not linear. It's not just, I'm happy, fantastic, I've hit the destination, that is it. It's ever evolving, it deepens, there's layers, there's, you know, you can try to understand yourself for the rest of your life and you'll still have more to learn. And with that, we will have seasons in our life where, like, we have children and sometimes they have to come before, you know, not all of our needs, but some of them, and then it switches. So it's allowing yourself the grace to know what season of life you're in and how you can show up now that supports you and, you know, potentially your children and those around you.
Oh, so beautiful.
So, Caitlin, 10 years ago, were there four versions of Caitlin? Was there a version of Caitlin for your partner, for your family, for your friends, and for yourself?
Oh, there was like 1,000 versions of Caitlin.
I know. That's what I mean. Is most people walk around with 1,000 different versions of themselves, and then they meet somebody and they go through that Rolodex and figure out, okay, well, which version of me am I going to present to this person? And today that's not the case, right?
No, not at all. I know. So obviously there's different conversations I'll have with my son than I will with my fiance. Mm-hmm. But ultimately I am my base of who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm calm and I'm for the most part pretty at peace. Like I'm very accepting of who I am. And even if I, you know, say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing in a moment, I'll just go, oh, sorry about that. I don't know where that came from or what I did there. And I have no qualms about doing that. Where before I'd have to look at the person and go, right, what do they want me to say in this moment? How do I make this better? Are they okay that I've done this? Should I make it better? Should I send them flowers? Maybe I'll send them a basket. Maybe I'll do their washing for the next week. And because I just felt so bad that I said the wrong thing in a conversation, where now I'm like, I forgive myself so much quicker and I forgive others now as well.
I've never done anything that bad that I had to do someone's laundry. Maybe build a house or something like that. That's a different story, but not laundry.
I want to preface this with I was a big people pleaser. And if I said no when somebody said, can you do this? And I said no and it upset them, I would literally be like, what can I do to make you feel better? Mm. I will do anything. Mm-hmm. That is what I would do because I just said no to something they wanted me to say yes to.
And I think that's what is when you make the choice to show up as your true and authentic self in every moment, that if other people choose not to accept who you are in that moment, it's on them. Mm-hmm. That I make the choice every single day, which I've always, is how can I make the world a better place? Every day is like, how do I make a positive impact on the people that I'm going to touch today and the things that I'm going to do? That is always the underlying motivation behind everything I do. And now when I choose to do that and I put 110% of myself in that decision, in everything I do, I show up 110%. Otherwise, I don't bother. Mm. And if somebody can't see that behind, you know, what it is that how I'm showing up or what I'm saying or what I'm doing, I'm like, that's on you. Like, if you can't see it, I can't make you see that that's how I'm choosing intentionally to show up as a really good person with really good intentions, bringing all of myself to this conversation, to this work, whatever it is. And I'm like, if you can't see it, then that's on you. And that just, it's not a reflection of who I am. It's a reflection of where they are in their journey. And there's no judgment on that, right? Mm-hmm. To say you're just being, but I can't be anything other than who I am, because I have wholehearted intentions of being like the best version of myself. And I choose to be the best version. And the choices I make are all about supporting that desire of me being the best person. So what that means for me is that I don't choose to have alcohol every day, because that is not going to support me being the best version. And that when I force myself to go to the gym, which I don't always feel like going, especially when the weather's hard, especially when I'm tired. But I know that when I go there, I reap the benefits of having that, of doing the exercise, and that I know it supports, again, me showing up as the best version of myself when I choose to go to bed on time instead of binging. I mean, I'm not a big social media person anyways, so I won't do that. I don't tend to be doing that on my phone anyways, but I won't watch the extra show on TV, or I'll again take action so that when I go to sleep, I have a whole bunch of tools too that help me to like have a good night's sleep all night long, because again, it supports me showing up as the best version of myself. And so do you think that in you choosing to show up authentically, that those are some of the same things that you're doing?
Yeah, I think when you show up authentically, there's a realization that everyone's reality is from their own level of consciousness.
Yes.
And we have you can try and change it, but that it's... they have that power within themselves. So, and the more you are you, the more you let somebody else feel safe being them.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, there's a mantra I use, and it's like, be the best you today, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. So be the best you. What does that look like? And every day, honestly, so I'm very seasonal. So we're in winter now. So I don't go to the gym as frequently as I tend to in the summer and springtime, because it's just, I prefer to go a bit more inward at this season. But it's being able to go, what kind of conversations can I have that are authentic and that are real and maybe are thought provoking, so that somebody else can have that moment of, interesting. That's what I love. I love being able to give people those moments where they go, oh, I'm going to think differently now. And then their trajectory changes because their beliefs and their stories and all of that changes. But it is, there's no judgment. It's whatever you've found works for you, you do that unapologetically. And as you continue to do that unapologetically, somebody else starts to go, maybe I can do that too. Instead of you have to do it this way, or, everybody here does it this exact way, this is the box we need to live in. It's, well, what would bring you happiness today? What would make you, allow you to be more authentic, more yourself? And that's where the moments really matter and compound. And then before you know it, you are exactly who you've always wanted to be. And then you get to decide who you then want to be at this next iteration, because you constantly evolve. Mm-hmm. You constantly grow. And I was so judgmental and so much comparison before.
Yes.
And honestly, now I rarely have that.
Yeah.
I don't judge people. Like, they can be whoever they want to be. I just want them to be happy, whatever that looks like to them. it's a really beautiful, like, it's a big journey, and it's one that I'm so grateful that I didn't even realize I was entering. And then I'm a decade down and I'm like, this is great. Yeah. I feel great.
And I'm so proud of you for like having realized all of this like a decade before.
No, but it doesn't matter when, as long as you do, right?
Yes, exactly. It's never too late. No, absolutely. That's why we're doing this show, right? It's never too late, wherever we're at.
Wasn't there a lot of criticism I guess in the beginning, Kaylin, and I'm just assuming that that criticism just fueled you to keep on going forward. Isn't that the idea from that criticism?
Yeah, I had a lot of criticism because I'm always the type of woman, if you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to do it and then do it again and then do it again. And then that's always been my driver.
Yeah.
But because when I first initially left Australia and went to the UK, I changed who I was. I fundamentally became someone new because I wanted to become someone new. So nobody really knew me in the UK as the old version of me. And then when I went back to Australia, they were so confused because they're like, this isn't you.
Yeah.
You don't fit in this. This isn't how you show up. You're this, you know, you're the definition of this in our group. And this is how you're not the woman who stands on her 2 feet like that. What are you doing? Sit down. Why are you there?
Yeah.
So that was really confronting. And I think there's a loneliness that comes with this journey. And I've been pondering on why it's required. And I think it's required because there's a moment where you know who you're trying to become and you're working to become that, you know, every moment of the day, but you're no longer who you were. So there's this in-between moment where you're like, I don't quite fit anywhere. And I think I realized that's the point, because when you don't fit anywhere, mm-hmm. you don't have any boxes. You don't have any stories. You are just mm-hmm. who you are. Mm-hmm. And there's a real lightness and acceptance that comes with, I am just who I am. And I think I had to double down when I moved back to Australia and everyone kind of criticized and really confused by my choice of wanting to just be happy, to be honest, because that wasn't who I was. Mm-hmm. And it just made me really go, is this what I really want? And it was like, yeah, actually, I really do want this. And if it ends up being that no one's around me but myself, mm-hmm. I'd rather choose myself.
Yeah.
And then it just so happened that everyone, you know, that mattered came around, and the others that were meant to leave left. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Ciao. Bye. See ya. I get it. Trust me. I understand it. I do want to ask you, you have anything else? I just want to ask, is there a particular song that wakes you up in the morning and start dancing, or is it a different tune every morning?
It's a bit different, but there's two that I absolutely love. So Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, obviously. And then there's a song actually by Georgia Smith called Carry Me Home.
Mm-hmm.
That one got me through when I was in the darkest of my moments. Mm-hmm. And I used to just play that song when I was breastfeeding Alfie, and it calmed me down. Mm-hmm. And I think Tom and I are going to play that at our wedding. So it's like that song now that's, you know, just part of me.
Beautiful.
Very nice.
Well, Kaylin, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. There were so many amazing points that God brought up in our conversation today. Thank you so much for showing up as your true and authentic self.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to you too. And thank you for both your journeys. And, you know, it's courageous to decide to do something different. And thank you for the platform that you have to inspire and educate others on how they can do this. And mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, I do love that the Chippies are listening. They actually appreciate these shows that Teresa's the one that started it. So I like big, brawly men that are listening to how to be happier, understanding how they can change their lives.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Kaylin.
Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Such an awesome show.
How did, again, you just met her through just networking online? Yeah.
Yeah,
that was really good. She had such different takes on a bunch of things, but mm-hmm. she's 100% right. There wasn't a single thing that didn't make sense.
No. And she's an example of making the choice to be happy. We need to make that choice. And so, you know, I'm going to have another conversation with you where we're just going to highlight how do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
How do we do that when we realize that when we wake up in the morning that we're not excited for the day. We're not excited for our life. We're not excited for the things that are going to happen because we're like, oh, this is going to be shit and this is not going to be any good. And it's like, no,
you're already painting that negative picture when you should be painting a positive one.
Yeah. And how do we start the day off on the right foot? Like, you know, Kaylin starts it off dancing, which I'm like, I'm vibing with that. Dancing mm-hmm. is like yesterday, actually, just before we end, I was in the kitchen. I had like my headset on and I was listening to like a song that I really like too. And I was making dinner and I was singing aloud. And I was like, oh my gosh, shit, this feels good. And I'm just like singing. And I'm in the kitchen alone. And then my daughter comes into the kitchen and she comes and she wraps her arms around me and she says, are you giving us a concert tonight? And I said, I am.
Tickets are $100.
And when to say, they don't know what you're listening to, right? All they hear is you sing, you know, singing the lyrics. And so, because it just felt so freaking good. Yeah. And so I just thought it was so cute the way she came in and she's like, is that what you're doing? I was like, yes, I am. And I was just like in such a good space. And so that is like you just like tuning in to like those moments where you feel good and trying to draw them out, adding them to your happiness toolkit. So yeah, we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about more of that. But that was great to have her on the show. I appreciate you setting that up. And it was good to chat with her from Australia to the UK. Mm-hmm. And then we're here in Toronto, cold, snowy. Yeah. All good. All right. Thank you so much, Teresa.
Thanks, Manny.
Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at @TeresaGreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.